Hello, this is Jeff Barnum reading the Supreme Court syllabus of the decision in Pulsifer v. United States. Certiorari to the United States Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit. Argued October 2, 2023. Decided March 15, 2024. After pleading guilty to distributing at least 50 grams of methamphetamine, petitioner Mark Pulsifer faced a mandatory minimum sentence of 15 years in prison. At sentencing, he sought to take advantage of the safety valve provision of federal sentencing law, which allows a sentencing court to disregard the statutory minimum if a defendant meets five criteria. Among those is the requirement set out in paragraph F1 that the sentencing court find that 1. The defendant does not have more than 4 criminal history points, excluding any criminal history points resulting from a 1-point offense as determined under the sentencing guidelines, a prior 3-point offense as determined under the sentencing guidelines, and a prior 2-point violent offense as determined under the sentencing guidelines. The government argued that Pulsifer could not satisfy that requirement because he had 2 prior 3-point offenses totaling 6 criminal history points. In the government's view, each of these prior offenses disqualified him under subparagraph B, and the 6 total points disqualified him under subparagraph A. But Pulsifer claimed he remained eligible. He pointed out that his criminal record lacked a 2-point violent offense as specified in subparagraph C, and in his view, only the combination of the items listed in the subparagraphs could prevent him from getting safety valve relief. The district court agreed with the government, and the Eighth Circuit affirmed. Held. A defendant facing a mandatory minimum sentence is eligible for safety valve relief under 18 United States Code Section 3553F1 only if he satisfies each of the provision's 3 conditions, or, said more specifically, only if he does not have more than 4 criminal history points, does not have a prior 3-point offense, and does not have a prior 2-point violent offense. Each party offers a grammatically permissible way to read paragraph F1. Under Pulsifer's reading, the word and joins 3 features of a defendant's criminal history into a single disqualifying characteristic. Accordingly, a defendant is ineligible for the safety valve only if he has items listed in subparagraphs A, B, and C in combination. In the government's view, and connects 3 criminal history conditions, all of which must be satisfied to gain safety valve relief. In other words, the court must find the defendant does not have A, does not have B, and does not have C. Each of these readings is possible in the abstract. The choice between the two can be sensibly be made only by examining the content of paragraph F1's 3 subparagraphs, including what they say, how they relate to each other, and how they fit with other pertinent law. The text and context of paragraph F1 as read against the guidelines yield just 1 plausible statutory construction. The paragraph creates an eligibility checklist and specifies 3 necessary conditions for safety valve relief. Reading the paragraph as Pulsifer does to set out a single condition, i.e. that the defendant not have the combination of the characteristics listed in subparagraphs A, B, and C, would create 2 statutory difficulties that the government's reading does not. Pulsifer's reading would render subparagraph A superfluous because a defendant who has a 3-point offense under subparagraph B and a 2-point offense under subparagraph C will always have more than 4 criminal history points under subparagraph A. That leaves subparagraph A with no work to do. Removing it from the statute would make the exact same people eligible and ineligible for relief. That kind of superfluity, in and of itself, refutes Pulsifer's reading. When a statutory construction renders an entire subparagraph meaningless, this court has noted, the canon against surplusage applies with special force. That is particularly true, as here, the subparagraph is so evidently designed to serve a concrete function. Pulsifer's reading would also create a second problem related to paragraph F1's gatekeeping function. The guidelines presume that defendants with worse criminal records, exhibiting recidivism, lengthy sentences, and violence, deserve greater punishment. Under the government's reading, paragraph F1 sorts defendants accordingly. When the defendant has committed multiple non-minor offenses, he cannot get relief, subparagraph A. And so too when he has committed even a single serious offense punished with a lengthy prison sentence, subparagraph B, or one involving violence, subparagraph C. Pulsifer's reading, by contrast, would allow safety valve relief to defendants with more serious records while barring relief to defendants with less serious ones. A defendant with a 3-point offense and a 2-point violent offense would be denied relief. But a defendant with multiple 3-point violent offenses could get relief simply because he happens not to have a 2-point violent offense. Contrary to Pulsifer's view, that anomalous result cannot be ignored on the ground that a sentencing judge retains discretion to impose a lengthy sentence. If Congress thought it could always rely on sentencing discretion, it would not have created a criminal history requirement in the first instance. Instead, it specified a requirement that allows such discretion to operate only if a defendant's record does not reach a certain level of seriousness. Pulsifer's construction of paragraph F1 makes a hash of that gatekeeping function. The uncontested fact that Congress amended paragraph F1 as part of the First Step Act to make safety valve relief more widely available does not assist in interpreting the statutory text here. Both parties' view of the paragraph widen the opportunity for safety valve relief, and Pulsifer's interpretation is not better just because it would allow more relief than the government's. No law pursue its purposes at all costs. Here, where Congress did not eliminate not only curtailed mandatory minimums, the court can do no better than examining paragraph F1's text in context to determine the exact contours of the defendants to whom Congress extended safety valve relief. The court rejects Pulsifer's efforts to invoke the rule of lenity. Lenity applies only when a statute is genuinely ambiguous. For the reasons explained above, although there are two grammatically permissible readings of paragraph F1, in context, its text is susceptible of only one possible construction. That leaves no role for lenity to play. Affirmed. Justice Kagan delivered the opinion of the court, in which Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Thomas, Alito, Kavanaugh, and Barrett joined. Justice Gorsuch filed a dissenting opinion, in which Justices Sotomayor and Jackson joined. Thank you for listening. Please help us by rating and reviewing this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And please make sure you subscribe so you can get all of the OT 2023 decisions automatically delivered to your device. If you wish to communicate with the podcast, please email us at scotusdecisions@gmail.com.